Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I'm welcoming every one of you to the pre-Labor Day call. Of all the holidays in America, Labor Day is one of my favorites. It's the end of the summer, the beginning of the fall. It's the last 4 months of 2015. What a great holiday season. I want to wish everyone a great holiday. Of course, I love Thanksgiving and Christmas. But got Labor Day is such a great situation. Remember, a lot of people, their kids go back to school. The whole business starts to settle down. You start to really take your game to the next level the last 4 months of any calendar year right before Labor Day. I know many of you are going to be going to the beaches in La Jolla, the beaches in L.A., Will Rogers Beach, the beaches in New Jersey. But don't forget PRODUCE over the weekend as well. So produce and relax. So I'm going to devote this call to that very situation is your story. I have a great call lined up for you tonight. I had the privilege of sharing the stage with the great Jonathan Budd, a multiple seven-figure income earner, and I assisted him in doing an event on your story. So tonight's content comes from one whole day event that Jonathan Budd and I shared back in the day in San Diego, California in 2009. If you're on tonight's call for the first time, welcome to the call. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm a multipreneur and have assisted many people from many walks of life to become successful in their free enterprise businesses.
September 26th.
There we go. So now we got it all officially muted. So if you're on tonight's call for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. This call is dedicated to all entrepreneurs from United States, Canada, Australia, and wherever you are listening to. This call is officially being recorded and will be available tomorrow for podcast or download or whatever you do to listen to the call at podomatic.com. We also send it out to our Facebook and email list. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, then move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. For those of you who are relatively new to what I do, I have been personally coaching and mentoring for 18-plus years. You heard one of my long-term clients, Steve Spangenberg, ring in from Australia. Steve was my client well over 10 years ago when he was a very successful accountant in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He went on to write a book on money, so he is one of the many, many millionaires that I've had the privilege of coaching. I heard Jennifer Trinkner, Don Ferrantino, and many, many of my successful clients and friends that I've had the privilege of coaching, collaborating with, and sharing the stages and dining with. I heard Joe Alonzo, Joe DiBianca, and all of you who have been my first-class friends and clients, Regina, and all of you out there tonight. I want you to know how much I appreciate each and every one of you for taking swings in free enterprise, being the leader that people are looking for, having the courage to stand the gaff, staying in the game long enough to master the skills, planning on quitting your job, and being in business for yourself with no net. It absolutely takes courage, a quality that never goes out of fashion, and there's always a market for it. Coaching has always been a niche of mine. My father was a top-tier high school track and basketball coach. Coaching is in my blood, and I've been a coach for 18-plus years, and I am proud to announce that I have my online coaching platform is available for delivery. So if you would like to take advantage of my online coaching program, there's over 40 modules. It's about 8 hours of content, has downloads. It also has a workbook. It has many, many benefits and features. It's also an affiliate program. You can find out more about it. Now, this is really the preview of it. So you can go to goldenmastermind.com and on my homepage, click the certified coaching icon to enroll in the program. It'll give you content and insight about it. In a very short period of time, I will be releasing the sales funnel, which will also allow you to become affiliate of that program. So tonight is really the preview of what that product will be like. I'm very thankful to Ilan Amir, Chris Shar, and Carolyn Olson for bringing this project all together for me. We put a lot of time into this going back into the early spring of 2015. We spent most of the summer well up to last night putting this product together. It's available 24/7 on how to effectively coach a team, coach yourself, address addictions, assist people to overcome some of their anxieties, how to develop a coaching program, how to speak from the stage, and many other great content that will allow you and effectively allow you to clarify your communication style and be able to hear what people mean, not say, how to effectively walk someone through a start to a finish on how to break someone down so that you can give them a result and create a coaching experience. So once again, you can go to my website, click on the coaching icon. This Saturday obviously is a holiday. On September 19th, I will be back in the field doing More Heart Than Talents. Next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I have Breakthroughs to Success number 110 breakthroughs. Next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I will be hosting that event. September 19th, I will be in Pleasanton, California. That is my backyard in the beautiful city by the bay. September 26th, Atlanta, Georgia. October 3rd, I'll be in one of the most beautiful cities in the United States, one of my favorite cities in the world, Charleston, South Carolina. I want to thank my good friend Bridget Bartley for hosting that event. I'll be in Albany, New York for the first time ever, October 10th. October 17th, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. October 24th, Chicago, Illinois. October 31st, Buffalo, New York. Then November 7th, I will be in Newark, New Jersey for the Millionaire Blueprint event with Mark Victor Hansen, Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, and a few other guest speakers who will be sharing the stage on that one-day event. November 21st, I'll be in Norwalk. December 5th, Long Island. And December 19th, my last event of the year, I'll be in another one of my favorite cities, the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California, specifically Marina Del Rey. So Tara Romano will also be sharing the stage with me on that date. And with that, we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I love to share great content with great people. I love to spend quality time with quality people, and each and every one of you are unequivocally first-class human beings. I want you to know how much I respect and admire you for the process that you are going through. Many of you are financially challenged. Some of you are emotionally challenged. Some of you have unequivocally broken through. I've had the privilege of coaching Jennifer Trinkner, C.G. Siddons, Tara Romano, and Alexis Romano over the course of the last 4 years, and have watched them unequivocally break through. Joe Alonzo, Don Ferrantino, Joe DiBianca, I've had the privilege of spending quality time with all of you in the last 3 years. One of my objectives is to see you be able to do some of the same things I've been able to do, that is to be able to mentor people, coach people, inspire people, lead people, develop a culture, create friendships, lasting friendships, and really watch people bring their best to the table. And there's nothing more rewarding than being that person. However, what will keep you from being that person is your story. Now, what I'm going to cover tonight is the story that you tell yourself over and over. A lot of that's your self-talk. How to create a new story, a new identity, how to let go of the control that keeps you out of control, and how to start to use words and feelings that start to empower and inspire you. But your word is your law, and your words do not return void. Many of you have heard me say that. I have a deck of affirmation cards, More Heart Than Talent cards, and that is one of the cards. Words do not return void. Words are your law. Your unconscious does not separate fact and fiction. Your unconscious either delivers you to action or inaction. And if you're inaction, which sounds like a contradiction, then you are avoiding a perceived pain that is not real. So to let go of an old story is to really let go of the events that shape your feelings. It's to give people less power than you give them. It's to move out of a place called worry, overwhelmed, anxiety, anger, hate, resentment, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. One of the most common commonalities in your story are the words you say, I'm overwhelmed, I'm always overwhelmed, I always get overwhelmed, I feel so overwhelmed. So what are you saying to yourself in that portion of your story? Well, you're telling yourself you have so much noise going on, you have so much control going on, you've got so many ideas going on, you're so brilliant that you can't get started. And if you tell yourself how overwhelmed you are, if that's your story, then it's going to show up in your physical state. You're going to end up feeling unorganized. You're going to be unorganized. You're going to be overwhelmed. And if you're overwhelmed, a big part of that story is about being over-obligated. Now, there are clients on tonight's call that are just superstar producers. Don Ferrantino would be one of them. Susan Sly would be one of them. Alexis would be one of them. Jennifer would be one of them. Bridget would be one of them. Many of you on tonight's call are very skilled at multitasking. I know Regina is one of them. Jody Ticini is one of them. A lot of you are really skilled at doing multiple situations at one time. Now, every one of you on tonight's call could do that eventually, but you've got to be able to master the emotional skills before you can ever master the physical skills, and that must be part of your story. If you tell yourself you're not patient, that's a story, and that's all it is a story. You can change that story by changing the words. Words precede action. Action do not precede the words. When you begin to change your words, you change your story. Even though that sounds very simple, that is because it's a very simple discipline. When you begin to say, I am, that means now, that's present tense, I am enough, you begin to change your story. In changing your story, what you're really doing is reinventing yourself. And one of the clients, I can give you one of the greatest testimonies of someone I've seen change your story was C.G. Siddons. I watched C.G. over a 13-month period live in a story. I watched her at an event where Joe DiBianco was at that event. I remember it like yesterday. He was part of that whole situation. He was part of the story of the story got changed. C.G. she affirmed at an event, I'm so done with this. Now, that began the new story that she began to change. Now, that affirmation, that was a component of changing her story, changed her life, changed the way she felt, changed the way she felt about an old identity. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to necessarily give you the same kind of effect, because this is a big component of what must show up in your story. There's one word that typically does not show up in most of America, Australia, or Canadians' language. Your language style, meaning the way you communicate with yourself, the way you communicate with others, and do you tell stories or do you answer questions? Can you ask a question? Can you answer a question? Or do you tell a story? If you're a storyteller, that can be good. If you're someone who can spin a yarn, well, it's not a black and white world. My grandfather was a great storyteller. He could sit on a nail keg back in the Midwest and tell great stories. He could spin a yarn. He was a great storyteller. But if you tell yourself stories that aren't true about how low your self-esteem is, how you're not good enough, how you're never going to be able to break through, you're not sure, you live in uncertainty, you live in an overwhelmed and an emotionally addicted state, well, that story will not empower you, that will disempower you. But to live in empowerment, to be empowered, is to begin to speak in a present tense statement, I am, to affirm, to state. That's the power of word, the power of affirmation. But words will not give you any results if you don't have belief. Belief means a sense of certainty. If you have not seen the great Tony Robbins as he's back on tour this year, you definitely deserve to see him speak. One of the greatest books ever written is the book Awaken the Giant Within, Chapter 4, the chapter on belief that really breaks down a sense of certainty. You're either certain or you're uncertain. And if you're uncertain, that will be your story. Life is not black and white, but there are a few occasions where it's challenging to split the hairs between fact and fiction. And if you're in disbelief or don't believe, or it's unbelievable, which meaning not believable, then your sense of certainty will be affected. If you knew you wouldn't fail, you would unequivocally succeed. But if you've ever developed that sense of certainty, then you will not be denied. You have to overcome facts, and sometimes facts are a part of your story. But let me break down to you why most people in society tell stories. Events shape our feelings. Feelings become our mood. Mood becomes our identity. Stories get created around the events. The events shape the feelings. Then we create an ego. And an ego doesn't mean we're arrogant or eccentric. An ego is typically what we hide behind. That becomes part of our story. A big component of our story is we're not good enough, and then we live in a place called doubt. Now, in doubt, we can actually create a result, because doubt is the space between fear and faith. And this is why we'll create a result and then sabotage ourselves, because we get overwhelmed about a story that has not happened. One of the most common stories that people tell themselves is, I'm not sure, and then they not sure of future tense. I'm not sure if I can keep success. I'm not sure if I can be responsible for success. I'm not sure if I can be responsible for someone else. These becomes a story. But another one, a common story that people tell is this story. I don't want to fail. So to avoid failing that story, people avoid the perceived pain of rejection, the perceived pain of failing, and they don't fail by avoiding but stay disappointed because they don't succeed. That becomes the contradictory story that a large percent of the population uses. Now, here's a very interesting set of words that people have put together, which isn't even a word, and it has a couple ways that it's written out that becomes a story. Yeah, no, Y-E-A-H-N-O. Yes, no, Y-E-S-N-O. No, yes, no, yeah. Those are the four different versions of a contradiction. Now, many people have turned yeah, no, yes, no, yeah, no into one word when it's not even a word. It's a sound that has no meaning. However, it's a very contradictory sound because it's not clear. If you're not clear and don't communicate clearly with yourself, and your self-talk isn't conducive to creating the outcome that you seek, then you'll have a story that will keep you disappointed. If you live in disappointment, you'll attract people and situations to fulfill a set of feelings that you become biochemically addicted to. Now, there's situations going on in the network marketing and direct sales world that has people telling themselves stories. There's a company that's having a few challenges, but if you start to create a story about that story, you start to read into that story, you can overwhelm yourself in that story and go, oh my God, I can't even produce. I don't know what to say. I don't know who to be. Well, I'll tell you this. Here's the story of you better master. The show must go on, because our industry is unequivocally... Our industry is unequivocally rock solid. The show must go on. And you got to be able to let go of a story that keeps you overwhelmed, keeps you uncertain, keeps you in disbelief, not belief. And you have to not create a story that end up attracting people that perpetuate your story. Now, if you get so overwhelmed and you start to attract people that ask you questions, that means you bought into a story that is not real. What does that really mean? What it typically means is that you get overwhelmed and you get anxious. You end up sending a telepathic mixed message about whisper down the lane. And whisper down the lane often means you get overwhelmed, you start telling yourself stories. Oh my God, I hope this doesn't happen. And then, voila, your brain sends a signal. It says, I'm overwhelmed, I'm in a mixed message, I'm going to attract someone to my reality to fulfill my story. See, this always happens to me. And then you'll say, what do you say when someone asks you this? And then you'll ask someone who doesn't get asked that because they don't have that story. When you let go of stories that are typically whisper down the lane, wives' tales, anxieties, and worry, now I'm not saying that there's not reality and there's not facts. That doesn't mean you bury your head in the sand, but what I mean is this. The show must go on. It means you must stay productive. If you've ever been in a lawsuit, a legal entanglement, or had the IRS knock on your door, here's what you understand if you're a producer. The wheels of justice grind slowly. Even though you want to control and want the situation to be resolved automatically, unfortunately, typically doesn't happen like that. Even though you want to know you're safe, you're certain, and nothing's going to happen to you, typically nothing really bad happens to you when you're a good person. When you come from integrity, honesty, you're real, you're raw, and you come from that place called love, and you come from peace, and you let go of your unresolved anger, your hate, your resentment, your guilt, your shame, and your overwhelmed feelings, then you'll start to attract to your reality people and situations to fulfill a much higher calling. But when you come from scarcity, anxiety, control, anger, resentment, guilt, and shame, you'll attract to your reality people and situations to fulfill your low self-esteem. Your low self-esteem is going to be based on a series of events that have become your story. And that story typically means I don't deserve it, I'm not good enough, I'm not capable, I'm not sure if I can keep it together, I'm not sure if I can lead someone, I don't know if I'm going to pull it off, I can't quit my job, you don't understand, I might go broke, I might go bankrupt. This becomes the story. This is unfortunately what a lot of people tell themselves. So here's what my whole content is about tonight, is turning off the noise. Now, here's some of the stories I used to live. I used to have a story about my drug and alcohol addiction. I just couldn't see myself not drinking. Drinking was my mistress. Drinking was a romance. I specifically liked vodka. Stolichnaya was my drink of choice. I also liked scotch as my backup. I used to romance what it was going to be like to take that edge off. I realized real quickly as an addict that no matter how many shots of courage, no matter how many Crown Royals in a Dixie cup I drank, no matter how many dirty martinis, dry martinis, bloody martinis, martinis on top of my martinis, no matter how many olives, how many onions, how many twists of lemon I had in my martinis, I could never take the edge off. That was part of my story. Because underneath my edge was a lot of unresolved violation energy. I felt low self-esteem. I was never good enough. That was part of my story. And I used to try and outproduce my never good enough, but all it would ever get me was exhaustion. And I used to have this story about drinking. I couldn't see myself not drinking. I got court-ordered to a few AA meetings through DUIs, public intoxications, drug arrest, and a whole series of other transgressions that keep taking me further and further down the rabbit hole of depravity. That when I started to hit rock bottom, my story, I just couldn't kick. And I got so destitute, so depressed, and so overwhelmed that I wanted to take my life. That became my story because I just couldn't see myself. But there, for the grace of God, a power greater than self came over me one day. I called the doctor, and the doctor called an ambulance. The ambulance took me to a detox center in French Camp, California. I got my first day of sobriety, my second day, my third, my fourth day. My story began to change. There was a little light at the end of the tunnel. I could actually say, wow, I might actually be able to pull this off. Then I started to develop and go to a 12-step program that started to solidify my belief. I got my first chip, not on my first day, I got my first chip about 10 days into sobriety because I didn't go to a real AA meeting, I went to it in treatment. I got my first chip about 10 days into it, got my first 30-day chip, and I started to change my story. See, sobriety, and not only sobriety, but when you start to let go of your story, it can change your power, it can change your strength, it can change your belief. But addicts always like a little more, and I had a lot of worry about, am I going to relapse, am I going to relapse, am I going to relapse? I almost talked myself into relapsing several times in my first 30 days. I wanted to leave my detox center because I just felt like I was locked up. I felt this part of my story. I can handle it. I can wing it. I don't have to have a system. Well, I realized real quickly that was a recipe to success. I got a wake-up call my first 14 days in treatment. Someone that left the detox center went out and committed suicide. And I got a real dose of reality that's how close to the edge I'd live. I started to change my story. I said, wow, I require AA. I require a 12-step program. For the first time in my life, I committed to a system. I'd been an addicted winger, and I thought on talent alone I could get it. I'm not suggesting you go to a 12-step program, but I'm suggesting you start to understand this term rigorous honesty. When you become honest with self, you can change your story, because a lot of the stories you tell yourself are lies. Addicts are pathological liars. We lie to ourselves about how low our self-esteem is. We tell ourselves how we're not good enough. We tell ourselves how we don't deserve it. We tell ourselves we're not sure if we can pull us off, and we relegate ourselves to trading time for dollars in someone else's dream, a place called a job. We tiptoe quietly through life, living the greatest pain, the pain of regret. And then magically, mythically, we find someone who's a leader or a leader grower. We find a mentor and we decide to become a mentoree. We want to get into business and free enterprise for ourselves. Unfortunately, we tend to get our ass handed to us in the first day, the first week, the first few months, or sometimes we have instant gratification and start to have some instant success, and our ego gets bigger than our bank account than it already was, and we think we know it all. We hit rock bottom again. That's all part of our story. But the story that you want to be telling yourself is that you are in the process of recovery. You are letting go. That's your story. You're in the process of mastering your emotional state so you can attract your reality, a different type of person that you can collaborate with, that you can create results with, that you can create, that you can become teammates with. This must become a part of your story. I am good enough. I am capable. I am lovable. This must become a part of your story. But if you keep telling yourself, I can't find anyone in New Jersey that's going to do this business. It's saturated out here. Oh my God, what am I going to do? If that's your story, then you're never going to be able to find the LOP, the land of promise. You'll continue to tiptoe quietly through life, arrive at your grave safely, and live the greatest pain, the pain of regret. Changing your story is nothing more than changing your word. Why are you holding on to your story? That's a question I ask people. One of the most common questions people ask me is, how do I? It's a valid question, but a real question is, why don't you? It's not, how do you change? Why aren't you changing? What part of your story would you have to let go of? What lie that you've lied to yourself over a long period of your life and career are you willing to let go of? In your ego, in your egotistic, analytical mind, what are you willing to let go of? What part of the past and what anxiety about the future are you willing to let go of? The more you live in the present, the more you live in a be state rather than thinking you have to do something, and doing is important, but being is equally important. Being is being here, being now. Being is being in your body. The affirmation would be, in my body. If you've been violated, if you've been abused, if you've been neglected, if you grew up in any kind of anxiety, if you grew up in a situation that you had to take on a role that was bigger than self, if you had to take on the role of a parent, if you had to step up to the plate, and you had to take on the role of a surrogate parent, if you had to take care of an addict or an alcoholic in your circle of influence, if you had to give your money that you earned to your family to support your family, or any multitude of situations, if you had to become a superstar child, a superstar athlete, a superstar performer, if you had to become a pageant queen, a runway model as a small girl or a young man, if there's a lot of pressure put on you, that pressure becomes your identity. Well, that pressure that is not real, which is really control, becomes a part of your story, then you keep telling yourself, you're under a lot of pressure. I'm feeling a lot of pressure. That pressure that you feel is emotional. It is non-physical. If you look above you, there's no vice, there's no clamp, and no one's really putting any pressure on you. Now, your family members may attempt to use guilt to control you, over-obligate you, put you in a position to feel bad or feel guilty, but that's your responsibility, i.e. the ability to respond, to start to understand fact and fiction. You also have to understand that there are certain obligations, then there are more you can handle. Now, if you're an addicted over-obligator or you feel responsible for other people's feelings or results, then that's going to be your story. That'll also lead to an addiction called codependence. But as you begin to understand cause and effect, why you do what you do, as you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control, as you start to have a better awareness and start to understand spiritually cause and effect and why you do what you do, as you start to read books by the great Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, The Placebo Effect, or any multitude of other content that gives you great insight into the neurological network that we create in a brain chemistry that keeps us in a theta-beta state out of a very relaxed state, an alpha or delta, which are both brainwave states. You want to teach yourself how to be in an alpha-delta state where you're not overwhelmed, where you don't take situations personal, where you can let situations filter through you, where you do not have to be right. You do not have to explain, validate, and justify yourself. You have a basic understanding of why people do what they do. You understand how predictable people are, and you're able to laugh it off, smile it off, and let it go very quickly. Then you don't personalize events that become your feelings, your moods, and your identities. When you let go of being a victim, then you can become a victor. door. If you've been a noble struggler, a struggleaholic, or a heartaholic, that's a big part of your story. And then you'll say things like, I have to work my ass off. I feel like I'm pushing a boulder uphill. I can't find anyone to do this. This is amazes me, shocks me. Why don't these people get it? People don't get it because people are who they are. The more you understand how predictable and why people do what they do, the less energy and power you will give people to creating your disappointment. If you're addicted to disappointment, that'll be a big part of your story because you'll attract and create situations to fulfill your feelings. The more you understand the 80-20 rule, that 80% of the population produces 20% of the results, and 20% produce around 80% of the results, then you'll get less credence, less energy, and you'll be disappointed a lot less frequently. When you have mini breakdowns, not M-A-N-Y, and that's pronounced Manny. We tend to mispronounce mini when it's really Manny. Instead of having Manny breakdowns, you want to have a mini breakdown. Instead of having wall-kicking moments, see, that's in plural, moments, you have a wall-kicking moment. Rather than being angry and pissed off, you have a pissed off and an angry moment. It means you do not take it personal. When someone cuts you off in traffic, you don't flip them the bird, honk the horn, have road rage, want to stalk them, run them down. You take a deep breath and let it go, because that's what begins to change your story. As you change your story, you change your energy. Words are law, words don't return void, and words create results. As you begin to change your words and change your actions, you'll begin to attract your reality, different people, different situations, and then these two words will be part of your story. These three words, they show up. Now, when you say they show up, there's a few people who will understand what that means. What that means is that you've experienced a show-up moment. You can't explain an experience show-up moment. It must be experienced. And you can share that moment or those events with people who know that they know, but you can't share that with people who don't know, because people who don't know live in a story about, I don't know, and then they say, I'm not sure, and I don't know, and I don't understand. If you're one of these people that lives in an overwhelmed state, you'll continue to use words like, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't understand, I don't get it, I can't find anyone, I don't know why this doesn't work, I don't know why I can't rank advance, I don't know. And people use I don't know so frequently. Now, if you'll watch this, this is amazing when you watch how people use words to create their story. There's a large percent of the population that end sentences with I don't know. They end a sentence with I don't know like it's a period, or they'll end a sentence with anyway, like end a sentence anyway, instead of ending a sentence. Now, you must become very skilled at this word clarity. Clearly define words about the outcome I seek. Emotional, physical, and mental clarity. When you start to articulate your words into feelings that are empowering, when you start to convince your expectations, when you start to re-educate your expectations, then you begin to attract parking spaces that open up on command. As you start to re-educate your education, you will get the last seat on a plane when it's sold out. As you begin to re-educate your anxiety and let go of the control that keeps you disappointed, you will get upgraded to first class more frequently. When you walk into a restaurant and there's a 2-week waiting list, miraculously, you will have an open table in a great seat. When you start to let go of your anxiety about how impatient you are, you can walk into a bar and everyone is standing in there and the bartender creates eye contact and gets you your drink. But this can only happen in a very relaxed emotional state when you feel in command and there is no control. But if you try to control the control that keeps you out of control, that's your story. And then you end up trying to control the control that there is no control of, exhausting yourself, getting nowhere. When you start to produce and relax, you'll change what you attract. Now, you may work your ass off, and that's part of your identity, then you'll attract people to fulfill that. And unfortunately, many people do that. Now, as you begin to change your attractor factor, this becomes another part of your story. I am very skilled. That's an affirmation you start to use. I am good at. But if you say, I'm not good at, I'm not skilled, this doesn't happen for me, that's your story. Your story is a direct reflection of the way you communicate with yourself. On next week's call, I'm going to cover self-talk. Self-talk is the way you communicate with yourself emotionally, spiritually, consciously, and unconsciously. And your unconscious is driven by your reticular activating system. Your reticular activating system is ignited by your medulla. And when you start to understand your limbic brain and what goes on in it, and you have the basic understanding of neuroscience, cause, effect, the four and five different brainwave states, you start to relax and let go of control. You start to realize that you have a job, it's temporary. You stop hating your job and realize your job's temporary. Because if you hate your job, then you're going to create experiences to fulfill your hate. Now, that doesn't mean you have to love your job, but if you understand it's temporary, I'm going to be here till May of 2016. You have a clearly defined goal of a fire your boss date, a quit date. You start to realize that whatever you're doing is temporary. This is not going to be long term, and that you're going to be able to change your story. You're going to change your results. You're going to change your attitude. When you start to develop clearly defined short term goals, when you stop getting so overwhelmed about this person you think you have to be in a hurry, and you realize that it's a methodical, systematic process. It's not going to happen overnight. When you begin to relax into the industry, relax into your company, relax into your culture, relax in your home, and relax in your body, then you're changing your story. But if you get overwhelmed about something that's going on in the industry, oh my God, there's this company and it's going to affect my company, and oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to go out of business and no one's going to sign up with me. And oh, I've got to really explain this. I've got to do, well, you got to let go, dude. You got to let go of the control that keeps you out of control, because the show must go on. I got a hot flash for you. Banks go out of business. Restaurants go out of business. People get food poisoning in certain situations. Lending institutions do dumb things. I mean, you got to slow down. You got to let go. You got to realize you're in the right place at the right time. You're in the right company, in the right culture. You got the right leaders right in front of you. You got to let go of the control that keeps you out of control. You got to learn to be in the moment. Be in the present. You got to take the edge off. Crown Royal, sex, drugs, alcohol, Ambien, Adderall, pharmaceutical medication, Midol, this, that, all the other things, it ain't going to happen. You let go of control. See, but if you try to control, then what you end up doing is attracting people who try to control you, or you control them, and then you're very controlling. That's a big part of your story. Letting go is letting go. Letting go must be experienced. It's not something can be explained. So stop asking people how to let go, because letting go is letting go. That's what it is. Stop trying to figure out letting go. Most people want a story on letting go. Well, I'd let go if you tell me the story of letting go. There's a book called Letting Go. I read the book, but it didn't tell me how to let go. How could you let go when you're in control of holding on? Letting go is letting go. It's a very simple story. Letting go is an experience. You won't be able to explain it until you experience it, and you'll only be able to converse with people who understand letting go. What stories are you holding on to that no longer give you power? What stories are you holding on to that no longer give you energy? A large percent of what happens in our families create a story. Now, many of you may have had a toxic situation that you grew up with. Some of you had world-class great parents. Some of you had great grandparents. You had role models. You grew up in a great little town, a big city. You went to a great high school. You had a great career. But for many of you, you had dysfunction in your families. You grew up with alcoholic situations. You grew up with violence. You grew up with molestation. And you grew up with all the situations that create an identity. We are all human beings, souls having human experience, and all of us have been through a series of events. But how you filter your story will dictate your outcome in life. But if you hold on to a story, then it's a high probability that you'll be a victim. And when you're a victim of a story, when you're a victim, and we've been victims, when you've been victimized and you don't let go of being victimized, and you become a victim. Now, everyone has had something happen to them that was not favorable at one point or another. Some people have suffered tremendous atrocities, and I feel you, my brother. I feel what it's like. I took myself to the bottom of the rabbit hole on a couple of occasions, and it's a very, very overrated experience. Everyone has a story about what they've been through. But if you're one of these people that commiserate your story and want to tell your story over and over, and you throw up on people and you astral vomit on people in your story, and you go on and on, then you... turn your story into empowerment, when you can shorten your story, when you have a story of recovery, when you can share your story and use your story as an example to inspire people, then people become inspired. When you can condense your story, but when you commiserate in your story, then that story is a drunkalogue. If you've ever been to a 12-step program, occasionally someone will go into a long drunkalogue about what it was like being out there on the street. And everyone in the room knows what it's like because they've all been there, but you don't want to tell long, drawn-out stories that attract attention. You want to use your story to empower people, not to disinterest people. You want to use your story as an example of encouragement, not to discourage people. You want to have a story that inspires people. People love a good story, especially when it's condensed. It has an ending that's favorable, or you're in the process of recovery. You use your story as a testimony. You want to be able to use your story to empower others. But some people become egotistic about their story, and then they use their story to dominate people. Now, if that's you, and some people use their story to be an expert, and they're more concerned with being an expert than they are with building a culture, building a team, or inspiring people. You know, but you got to learn that it's not about you, it's about them. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, but let me explain. It is about you because your story is important. But if you're prospecting, connecting with people, looking for people to join a team, build a culture, you want to find out about their story. You want to be able to find out what inspires them. You want to find out what challenges they have you can resolve. You want to be able to find out what's going on in their life, and you do that by asking a series of questions in a sequence to be able to see if this person has what you're looking for, if this person is looking for a way to change the quality of their health, their wealth, their life. You want to be able to do that. But if you encounter someone who's negative, in scarcity, in poverty consciousness, then their story probably won't match your story. And if you're seeking someone that you can collaborate with, create a culture with, become friends with, build a team with, then you have to be able to listen to other people's stories and filter through it and see if their story is an empowering story or a disempowering story. Quite frankly, there's a percent of the population that are very broken, very financially challenged, and very negative. And that doesn't mean that they're bad human beings, but typically that type of energy is not the type of energy you're looking for to collaborate with in your story. The more you understand cause and effect, the less energy you give to the past, the more you can create a new story and live in the present. The process of changing is creating a new story. Now, where are you right now? Well, it's the year of our Lord, 2015. You're in the first day of September, 4 months left in the calendar year, right around 120 days and change. You can create an absolutely new story in the next 4 months, provided there's a level of productivity, a level of action, provided there's a level of realistic in expectation, and you're clearly defined in your short-term goals. But if you're not clearly defined in your short-term goals, you have these big goals and no action, that's a wish. And unfortunately, a lot of people do that. They have big goal, no action, big disappointment. And if you're a classic avoider, if you're a starter and not a finisher, then you're going to have a disappointment story by the end of the year. Don't wait till December 31st or January 1st to really get in the game. Now, here's a story that hinders a lot of people. I don't have money. I'd really like to do this. I'd like to go to that event. I'd like to hire a coach. I'd like to be able to go to New Year's kickoff. I'd like to go to my company's event. I just don't have the money. I can understand that. But here's the story you have to change, specifically when it comes to money. If you have broke thoughts and poverty consciousness, and that's a part of your dialogue with money, that's a story. You have to be able to come from prosperity, reciprocity. You have to be able to come from goodness. You have to be able to come from having a dialogue with receiving and deserving that's conducive to attracting people that you can collaborate with to create results. That's where the money will come from. But if you believe and think that people don't have money, can't find it, or it's very challenging in the network marketing or direct sales industry, or a situation has recently happened that has rocked your world, that is your story. I'm going to tell you this once again. The show must go on. What does that mean? It means that the wheels of justice grind slowly. Focus on results. Focus on solutions. Focus on an outcome that is favorable. Let the world go on. Let CNN, constantly negative news, grind down most of society. Don't focus on what you don't want to have happen. Don't create worry and anxiety about what has not happened. Focus on how to create results. Focus on how to empower people. Focus on how to create a culture. Now, people do not ask me the typical questions that they ask most people unless they're paying me. That means if they hire me to be their coach, that's a different situation. But when I'm prospecting for whatever business ventures that I'm creating 6- and 7-figure income results, I don't typically get the questions that most of the status quo or average folks living average lives get, because they're overwhelmed expecting average situations to keep them average. If you have a lifetime of being average and you have a lot of anxiety about breaking out of being average, then you'll continue to create situations and realities to fulfill your disappointment. But when you decide, when you commit, and that's a word that must start to become in your vocabulary, C-O-M-M-I-T, commit, start to ingrain, incorporate, insert into your vocabulary. Instead of saying I need to, say I commit to. Start to use commit as an action word in your vocabulary. I am committed. I decide. I commit. I am a classic committer rather than a classic over-obligator. I am very skilled at committing. But if you're commitment phobic, you'll use words to keep you disappointed to fulfill your story. To change your story, you change your words, change your actions, change what you attract. It's a 3-tiered process. First of all, you have to change the way you feel about yourself. It starts with, I am good enough, I am lovable, I am capable, I am a leader grower, I am learning how to lead. I am skilled at articulating my feelings into words. So if you say, I'm not good at talking to people, I don't want to offend someone, I don't like rejection, if that becomes a part of your story, you've now created a situation that you can avoid the outcome to avoid failing. And if that's a part of your story, you're going to create the same situation over and over. As you change your feelings and change your words, you change your vibration. That begins to change. It may not happen overnight, but as you begin to affirm differently, as you begin to change the way you communicate with yourself, that means you're not so judgmental. You're not so critical of yourself. You're not so hard on yourself. You don't spend so much time in the mirror overanalyzing yourself. You're able to take a picture and post it on Facebook, on whatever situation, without being so judgmental of yourself. And realize you're a process in process. You may not have the ideal physique tonight. You may not have the ideal skills, but if you keep reinforcing and reinventing and reeducating your expectations, then you'll begin to eventually change the way that you autonomically auto-suggest to yourself who you are and what you do. Auto-suggestion is when your brain and your body come together and they create a one with, and it becomes automatic, autonomic. But if you automatically go into overwhelm mode, then you'll create people and situations to fulfill those feelings. But as you begin to change, as you let go of your control, it's amazing what happens in your physique. You start to drop 5 to 10 pounds of bloat and water weight. You start to sometimes drop 20 pounds of pissed off energy, resentment, anger, hate, guilt, shame, abandonment, rejection. As you begin to forgive your perpetrators and violators and no longer incorporate them into your story, as you stop making a story about your boss, if you stop making your boss your parents, or you stop making your parents your boss, or vice versa, as you begin to change your story, then mythically, magically, people used to give you conflict don't tend to give you so much conflict. When you walk around the planet with an edge on, when you walk around the planet with conflict consciousness, when you walk around the planet in unresolved anger, when you walk around the planet so intense that you alienate people, you'll attract people to get in the ring with. And if you're fueled by anger, if you're fueled by rage, well, then you'll unconsciously attract people and situations to fulfill those feelings. If you get out of one bad relationship and don't create a separation between yourself and the events that created that relationship, you'll attract another relationship to fulfill those feelings. If you have teammates that overcommit, under deliver, that's going to be a direct reflection of your own law of attraction. provided it happens frequently. Now, if it happens occasionally, that's not your law of attraction. But if you keep creating the same situation over and over, then that's the story that you're living in, the story you're telling yourself, the story you're creating to fulfill your disappointment. When you begin to let go, when you stop giving other people power, when you stop saying, this always happens to me, then you're beginning to change your identity, change your feelings, change your story. That's when you change what you attract. When you're in a leveraged business, you require 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 people over a period of 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 years that you can collaborate with. That kind of collaboration, when comes together, can create the compounded effect. The compounded effect, when harnessed, creates a quantum leap. A quantum leap is when sum becomes greater than whole or parts. U2 squared, 2 plus 2 becomes 2 times 2, U2 squared equaling 16. That's a quantum leap, sum greater than whole of parts. That place is called the zone. Now, the zone is the hands-free zone. When you start to change your story and you start to live in the zone, in the quantum field, in the Akashic records, then there's no separation between you and the result. Then no matter what's going on in your outer world, it does not affect your inner world. A bank can go out of business, the world can collapse, a company can have a problem, and you can move effortlessly, you can glide, you can let go, you can move to a favorable place where you can live in the solution. But if you're not solution-oriented, then you're going to be problem-oriented, and then you're going to find ways to sabotage yourself. But when you live in the solution, when you understand the cause that creates the effect, you become cause and purpose-driven, and your purpose is bigger than the facts, then the facts don't have the same merit. The facts are people are going to come and go. The facts are companies are going to come and go. The facts are there's an evolution of life. You plant in the spring and reap in the fall. Those are the facts. The facts are not everyone's going to make it. The facts are you're going to have some challenges physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Those are all facts. But when you start to coach yourself and re-educate your expectation, that's why my new product on personal coaching, on how to become a coach, is a very valuable commodity because you have access to it 24/7. It's well over 8 hours of content that will assist you in how to change your self-talk, how to coach other people, how to understand cause and effect, why people do what they do, how to ask your students, your mentees, your clients a series of questions about an outcome, so you can gauge and determine whether there's a match or a mismatch, when you can learn to trust your feelings and let go of your analytical, egoic mind that keeps you processing. It amazes me how many people pass on great opportunities because their ego gets in their way of their bank account. If you want to grow a big bank account, then you have to let go of your big ego. Big ego doesn't mean you're arrogant or eccentric. A big ego means you have big overwhelm. When you're big and overwhelmed, you typically have a story. When you put your hands on the throat of money, when you're strangling money, when you have to have money, when you have to have money in the bank to feel secure, then you have no security. Money doesn't give you security. Money gives you options. But when you're using money to give your security, when you lose your money, you have no security. It's the same with success. If your success is based on, if your identity is based on being successful, if your success ever gets rocked or you lose your success, then you've lost your identity. Your identity should be based on this. I am me. I am free. I am lovable. I am good enough. I am very skilled at reinventing myself. When one door opens, and when one door closes, another door opens. There is no loss in free enterprise. I cannot lose what I do not have. Entrepreneurs always create more. More relationships, more prosperity, more reciprocity, more collaboration, more money, more wealth, more integrity. When you live in more-mores, then you'll stop living in scarcity. When scarcity is your story, then you'll live in broke thoughts, attract broke people, broken souls from broken home with broken bones to fulfill your low self-esteem, your lack mentality, and your overwhelmed state. If you have to control people, dominate people, be the man, be the woman, intimidate them, be angry, pissed off, and all you end up doing is alienating the good people in your life that you would have had the opportunity to collaborate with. I have been in and much, much recovery in my life. I've been to thousands of 12-step meetings, read thousands of books, attended many, many events, hosted events of my own, hosted, well, soon to be 100 and breakthrough number 9 coming up in September, have been in this process for over 20, going on 30 years, and I'm still in the process of learning. You never stop learning. That doesn't mean you're not good enough, but you constantly start to enhance and improve your ability to attract, create, brand, speak, articulate, mentor, lead, generate, and create relationships with. That's an LTG, a long-term game, an LTP, a long-term process. The more you start to relax into that process, the more control you'll let go of. The more you relax into that process and release, you relax and release, the less anxiety you will create. Your objective is not to alienate people, it's to empower people. Your objective is not to control people, it's to let go of control. Your objective is not to live in guilt and shame, your objective is to live in prosperity and reciprocity. Guilt serves no purpose. Worry serves no purpose. Being emotionally addicted serves no purpose other than to keep you sabotaging yourself over and over to fulfill a low self-esteem that continues to perpetuate the term, I am not good enough. When you begin to let go of control and change your story, I am enough. You see a lot of people writing in their hand right now, I am enough. I've been teaching that philosophy for 20 plus years myself. I am enough. I am lovable. I am capable. I am the leader you are looking for. I am in the light of God. I cast the burden to the Christ within. When you start to come from that kind of power, then you can empower others. You can't empower others when you're disempowered. The recipe doesn't work. You can't be a closer when you're a poser. And you're going to encounter people who pose and they don't know how to close. And they teach you philosophy they never lived. The veil that they live in is very thin. You can see right through the very thin veneer of someone who's a poser versus someone who's a closer. Someone who's a closer is a finisher. Someone who's a finisher isn't a starter. Someone who's a finisher is somebody you definitely want to collaborate with because they can GID get it done. That means they can stand the gaff, stay the course, and there's someone you can account on because they're accountable and responsible. One of the number one stories that people tell themselves is they don't want to fail. That becomes the biggest myth and the biggest misnomer in free enterprise success and business. If you're one of these people that you're worried about failing, well, you failed before you've ever started because that's your story. If you're worried about being rejected, people don't reject you, they aren't interested. The more you let go of the control that keeps you overwhelmed and out of control, the more you can be in prosperity, reciprocity, spirituality, energetic vibrations conducive to love, to bliss, joy, enlightenment, awareness. When you start to live in that space, your attractor factor changes. That becomes a new story that you're telling yourself. When you change that story, on command, you can create synchronicity, synchrodestiny, and you can attract with the quantum field, the Akashic records, and then you're one with. There's no separation between you and the outcome. When you can live in that kind of story, now you're living in EASE, ease. Life becomes EASY, EZ. The acronym is E period Z. You become an EZologist, EASYOLOGIST, and an EZosophist, and you study the art of ease, EZosophy. And it's not that it has to be difficult. There is effort, but you want less effort, more reciprocity. Less effort, more recovery. Less effort, more money. Effort, you want to be effortless. That means you weigh very little. You're very light energetically. You don't bring a dark energy. You're not an emotional and spiritual vampire. You don't have to be right. You can relax into your body. You're able to release effortlessly, meaning there is no control, there is no pressure, and there is no worry because you are in the moment. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. Welcome, everyone, to the More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. Congratulations. Here we are, September 1st, 2015. Have a fantastic weekend coming up. Create results, create relaxation, most of all, enjoy bliss, enjoy love, enjoy enlightenment. So then this next few days, your attractor factor changes. So when Tuesday rolls around, and it's all of a sudden next week, you're in a whole different space where people begin to show up. Let go of your anxiety about writing posts, about writing the perfect thing. Be able to create on command. Thank you very much, everyone. This call is officially a call, has been recorded, and will be available at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm sorry, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 9 a.m. Wednesday morning, 12 p.m. in the afternoon, Wednesday, for download and podcast. This call has officially been recorded. Have a great evening, everyone.